على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Before we continue with our book Sharh Sunnah by Al-Imam Al-Muzani Rahimahullah We think we should spend time to respond to some of the questions that have been asked in previous classes. We remember most times we don't have the sufficient time to respond to the questions. So the doctor had been keeping the questions for us. We'll take some of them, inshallah, before the rest of the brothers join us, inshallah. This questioner says, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the parents of Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam, are they going to enter Al-Jannah? If yes, please, we need Dalil. The person is asking, will the Prophet's parents enter Al-Jannah? If they will enter Al-Jannah, what is the evidence that they will enter Al-Jannah? Well, one of the scholars, Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Suyuti, he has a book on this matter in which he was affirming that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu will enter Al-Jannah. The Imam al-Suyuti, and in it he brought some narrations, but those narrations are all weak. The majority of them are mawdu'at, fabricated, that cannot be relied upon for a matter of ghaib. Because entering Al-Jannah for us now is from the issues of ghaib, unseen. So for us to speak about the unseen, we must be relying on authentic revelation. So the narrations he brought are weak and unreliable as proof. Unfortunately, many of the people, especially the Sufiya, have relied on those kind of narrations and those kind of books from people like As-Suyuti rahimahullah to say that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Al-Jannah. But those narrations are wahiyah. They are not reliable. What is rather reliable is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. That someone came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu and asked about where his parents are. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told that companion that his own parents were in the fire. So he asked him, what about you? He said, my parents are in the fire too. This hadith is authentic. It was reported by Anas ibn Malik by one of his best students, Thabit al-Bunani. He reported this hadith from Anas ibn Malik. And from Thabit also, one of his best students. This hadith, its reliability is unquestionable. Some of the ulama refer to it as that it has an isnad of silsilatul a'imma, that the Prophet's parents are in the hand. Because they'd never been Muslims. They were idol worshippers. So, and the promise of Allah with anyone who worships idol or worships idol is to make the person be in the head. Whether it has to do with the person's parents or child, it doesn't matter, or wife or husband. ضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عينين من عبادنا صالحين. A man could have a wife, a man could be a pious person, but would have a wife who is a sinful person, and she will go into Jahannam. May Allah protect her. Two eminent prophets of Allah, Nuh and Lut. Allah says, Ibadina, they are from our servants, Salihin. They are pious people. But their wives did not accept. In the case of the husband, it was the issue of Fir'aun and his wife. Fir'aun did not accept Iman, but his wife accepted Iman. Radiallahu anha, afiyah. So it could be like that. It could be father and son. The father could be the mu'min while the son is the kafir, as was the case with Nabiyyu Nuh alayhi. Allah says, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Nuh's son was عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. His deeds were not pious. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. So Nuh, don't ask me about what you don't have knowledge about. Because Nuh alayhi salam wanted his son to come with him. Ya bunayyar kam mana, O my son, come on this boat with me. Wala takum mal kafir, don't be with the disbeliever. The son said, Sa'awi ila jabali ya'simuni min al-ma. I will go on that mountain and I will be saved there with from the water. Allah says, La 'asim al-yawma min amri Allahi illa ma rahim. وحال بينهما الموجود وكان من المبرتين. As he was arguing with his father said to him, today there is no safety anywhere else except inside this boat with those that Allah shows mercy. As they were in the, you know, they were in the argument, حال بينهما الموج, the waves of the water came in between the two of them. وَكَانَ الْوَلَدُ مِنَ الْمُغْرَةِ. So the son came from amongst those who were drowned. So it could happen between the father and the son. And it could be son being a person of Iman and father being a person of a kufr, as was the case with Nabiyyu Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a person of Iman, but his father rejected Iman. Ya abati lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni 'anka shay'an. Oh my father, why are you worshipping something that cannot, la yubsir, does not see, does not hear, and cannot bring any benefit to you? The father rejected. He said, don't worry, I will ask Allah to forgive you. Allah said, don't do that, Ibrahim. So these issues of Iman are things that Allah alone has final decision upon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good decisions regarding our parents, regarding our children and relatives. We want to be like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his father was a mu'min, his mother was a mu'mina, his children were mu'minun, his grandchildren were mu'minun, his great-grandchildren were mu'minun. Different from the Prophet Muhammad. In the case of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, his own father, Abu Quhafa, was a mu'min, Uthman. His own mother was a mu'mina, radiallahu anhu. But the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, and between them was just 3 years. Between the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, and Abu Bakr and Siddiq, 3 years. So Allah does what He likes. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٍ لِمَنْ. So let's not say, the whole Prophet of Allah is giving us examples. That's why at all times we must be asking Allah for tawfiq and sadat. Allah, please give us tawfiq, give us sadat, give us iman, and make it come upon our children too. and our parents too that are alive. Those that are dead, may Allah forgive them. So the correct thing regarding this question is that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in the fire. And that is what the hadith shows, as we have explained. Allahu a'lam. This question has been asked once. It says, what if the present lady has put relaxer on her hair before? Will she, that is, will the lady cut the hair or stop using it? Use of relaxer. Will she stop? If she stops, she should stop. It doesn't mean she has to cut off the hair. Yes, there are some of the scholars, many of the fatawas that you will read today will tell you that it is allowed. And it is because the ulama, hafizahumullah, who gave these fatawa, were people in whose community relaxers don't affect their hair. They don't affect the chemistry of their hair. They don't change anything on their hair. But we who have negroid hair, relaxers change the chemistry of our hair. And change in chemistry is change in nature of that. If it is a physical change, that is different. Such as when you put a soap, you wash the hair. The white people, when they wash their hair with soap now, it will be as if it is colored, have you? So nothing changes. It's a physical change. So there is no difference between that and when they apply chemicals because of the texture and the nature of their hair. But in our own situation, our hairs are thicker and shorter. So what the perming does is to stretch the bond. It will break some protein bonds and stretch the hair. That's why what you find is that the hairs that are permed are different from the hairs that are not permed. If you have a family, your wife or sister that had permed her hair, go and check it. So they have undergrowth. Undergrowth will be real hairs, and the upper growth, quote unquote, will be permed hairs. So on every strand of hair, there are two strata. One bad, one good. Because hairstylists believe that the permed hair over time becomes a bad hair. And that's why one of the things women suffer when they perm hairs and stuff is that the hairs fall off. Because the bonds that held them have become weakened by the perming procedure. The hairs fall off. So they must be perming at all times to keep and maintain the hair. Like a person that is toning. If an individual is toning, he stops toning, what happens to his skin? Unless he continues to tone, or she continues, may Allah protect her. And from the things Shaitan has sworn to do is to command the people to change what Allah has created. Allah told us in Surah An-Nisa, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Shaitan vowed that, وَلَا أُدِلَّنَّهُمْ. He said, he will mislead the people. وَلَا أَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And I will command them to change the creatures of Allah. So as Allah has created you, he has made your hair a negroid hair, leave it like that. Don't tend to change it. Likewise, your skin color, your complexion. Don't change it and don't attempt to change it, because you would have been changing the nature in which Allah has created you. So that is the correct thing, inshallah. So if the person now says, okay, I am stopping this perming, she should stop. If she feels that, because the hair will fall off, the one she had permed yesterday will still fall off, she can then cut it off if she so desires. Professional stylists believe that that hair is a diseased hair. If you don't cut it, it will fall off. In fact, it leads some women to have scalp without hair. You see women, after some time, the hair fall off. When they do like this, the hair come off. When they do like that, try to pluck on hair, it falls off like a pack of cards. So it's not good for the health of the woman. It's just like the high heel shoes. Science tells us the high heel shoes spoil the bone. They wrinkle the ankle bone. Yet women wear it. They say they make younger. You make younger something that is destructive to you. So let us stop all of these. Everything that Allah has created is beautiful. وَخَلَقَكُمْ وَصَوَّرَكُمْ وَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ صَوَّرَكُمْ Allah molded us وَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ and beautified our look. Everything Allah created, wallahi, is beautiful. If you want to know it, I know somebody who is using the eye of a goat. Wallahi, it is not like the eyes of human beings. Allah created the eye of the goat. He created the eyes of human beings. But those of human beings are better. Because he described our surah as Ahsan, the figure to set the best look. So there is nothing you do that is plastic. We've seen people who did plastic surgeries of nostrils, plastic surgeries of cheeks. They don't look like those that Allah created himself. And they will always have to maintain it. So forget about plastic cosmetics and surgery and all of that. There are things that you have to do something to maintain. The one that Allah has given you, what effort do you make to maintain it? If you make efforts at all, those efforts are small compared to the effort of the person using unnatural, you know, beautiful, beauty, cosmetic looks. May Allah protect us. Yes, Islam encourages that a woman looks good, not just a woman, a man looks good. Islam encourages it, but with limits. If you employ zaitun, you employ oils on the hair will still look good and will be well plated. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَكْبِيرًا Allah created everything and placed limits there. So let's not exceed the limits. فَلَا تُخْفِرُ الْمِيزَانَ I think we can start our class now. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله We are reading from our book Sharh al-Sunnah. Sharh al-Sunnah by Al-Imam Al-Muzani rahimahullah. We described the Imam, we introduced the book, and we read his introductory notes to the book. So he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, أَصَمَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى May Allah protect us and you through taqwa. We explained, how does taqwa protect the muttaqi? When you fear Allah, how do you become protected? Many ways, we explained. وَوَفَّقَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمُوَافَقَةِ الْهُدَى And may Allah wafaqana, grant us tawfiq wa iyyakum, and you too, limuwafaqatil huda, to be able to come in line with true guidance. That is, may Allah guide us on to the true path, the correct path. Everything we do, may Allah grant us tawfiq. He started with that dua. Like we mentioned in the dua, he always mentioned himself first, and then the rest of it. We gave an example from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said amma ba'd and at the end of the hadith he says aqulu hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum from the sunnah of dua is that you start with yourself then any other person you want to mention he said amma ba'd we explained amma ba'd It is something we should use at all times. The Prophet used it, alayhi salam. He said, فَإِنَّكَ أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ And Imam al-Muzani said, فَإِنَّكَ You, certainly, أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you rectification. That is, may Allah rectify you. سألتني أن أوضح لك من السنة أمرا. You requested me to explain something in the Sunnah to you. تصبر نفسك على التمسك به. That you will patiently stick to. You beg me that I should explain something you should stick to in the Sunnah. وَنَدْرَأُ بِهِ أَنْكَ وَتَدْرَأُ بِهِ أَنْكَ شُبَهَ الْأَقَوِيلِ. And this matter you ask me to explain to you, you will use it to remove the confusions of difference of opinion. When there is أَقَوِيلِ, different opinions, there is شُبَه, confusion. So when I explain the things to you from the Sunnah, you will stick to it. And you will use it to refute those confusions, to clarify those confusions. وَزَيْغَ مُحْدَثَاتِ الضَّالِينَ. This matter you want me to explain, you will also use it to remove the misguidance that has been brought by those who are misguided. When a person is misguided, he spreads misguidance. Go. But when I explain the matter to you from the Sunnah, you will use it to clarify the matters of misguidance. وَقَدْ شَرَحْتُ لَكَ مِنْ هَاجٍ. So I have explained to you a methodology, a manhaj. مُوضِحًا, that is clear. مُنِيرًا, that sheds light, that gives light. And in that I have explained to you, لَمْ أَعْلُ نَفْسِي وَإِيَّاكَ فِيهِ نُصْحًا. I have not held back any sincere advice for myself and for you in what I have explained. There is nothing that I'm supposed to tell you inside it that I have not told you. I did not hold back anything. This shows that the early Muslims, the scholars, they did not use to hold back nasiha from themselves, from their friends, from their students. We are in a generation now, especially, in Yoruba-speaking communities, people hold back sincere advice. Nasahih, people hardly give nasiha. The average person in the community will be looking at you like, he may even be smiling, looking at you, make mistakes. May Allah protect us. Ad-deenun nasiha. A major aspect of deen is to do what? Give ourselves sincere advice. So Imam al-Muzani said in this book, he did not hold back anything that is a sincere advice except that he gave it to you. Rahimahullah. He said, بَدَأْتُ فِيهِ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ ذِرُّشْدِ وَالتَّفْدِيدِ. I started in this book with Allah's praise. Which Allah is that? Zirrushd, the owner of guidance, was tafdeed and conformance. Rushd, guidance, tafdeed, ability to confirm, ability to conform to that which is correct. The two of them belong to who? Allah. So he said, Alhamdulillahi ahakku man zukir. The reason we are reading this again is there had been a time frame we were not, we didn't have a class last week. So it's like bringing us back from the last class. So he said, Rahimahullah, Alhamdulillahi ahakku man zukir. All praise belongs to Allah. Ahakku man zukir. The one who has the greatest right to be remembered. If you want to remember somebody, who has the greatest right to be given remembrance? Allah. He said, وَأَوْلَى مَنْ شُكِرْ. And the one who is most deserving to be given thanks. You want to talk to somebody, hey brother, JazakAllah khairan, thank you, yes. Who has the greater right to be thanked? Allah. And wallahi, if we want to explain why is it that Allah has the greatest right to be thanked, where we will start from, like Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, Rahimahullah, and others after him, is that we have to thank him first for giving us the favor to remember to thank him. Because when you remember that you should thank him, it is a favor he has granted you that deserves another thanking. So you end up never ending to thank Allah. And when you thank him, he gives you more. So how will you thank him? Where will you start from? The thank that, the gratefulness that he has given you the ability to remember to thank him. Is that what you will thank him for? Or the new favors that he will be doing to you because you are thanking him? So that's why he says, "Wa awla man shukir," the one who has, who is most deserving of being thanked is who? Allah. He says, "Wa alayhi usniya," and to him I direct my praise. Al-Wahid al-Samad, this Allah is one. As-Samad, he is self-sufficient. Allah does not depend on anything. Alladhi laysa lahu sahibatun, this Allah as-Samad. We explain that the ulama have a difference about what is the meaning of as-Samad. Some say as-Samad means the one who is self-sufficient, like I explained. But others say, no, don't disturb yourself. Go to Surah Al-Ikhlas itself. He has explained the meaning of as-Samad. Who is as-Samad? Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. That is the meaning of what? As-Samad. So this is what this Imam explained here, rahimahullah. That الَّذِي لَيْسَ لَهُ صَاحِبَةٌ وَلَا وَلَدٌ جَلَّ عَنِ الْمَثِيلِ. Allah is too great to have a similitude. There is something similar to something. If you have a car today, you have a similar car. If you have a house today, you have a similar house. Like it. If you are brilliant in mathematics, you will find somebody who is similarly brilliant in mathematics. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla alin Masih, is too great to have a similitude. Allahu Akbar. Fala shabiha lahu. Therefore, there is nothing that resembles Allah. Wala adila. And there is nothing that is equivalent to Allah. No equal. It does not have a resemblance. And he does not have an equal. If you are a governor, are there governors in the world? If you are a governor, others are governors. If you are a minister, others are ministers. If you are a secretary, others are secretary. If you are a graduate, others are graduates. If you are hafiz of Quran, others are hufaz of Quran. Whatever you have, there are people like you. The one who does not have anything like him is who? Al-Ahad, As-Samad, Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. It's one of the recitals. Instead of saying kufuwan, we say kufuwan lilhamd. It means Allah does not have an equal, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is As-Sami', he hears all things. He absolutely hears. Like we explained in the last class, our own hearing is limited and restricted. In fact, you may be in a room and a sound of particular frequency is made and you will not hear it. There is, in physics, harmonics, there is a range of sound frequency that the ears can pick. If it is above it, you will not hear it. And if it is below it, wallahi, you will not hear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? As-Sami'. He hears all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's also what? Al-Basir. He sees all things. Scientists say that if there is no light, we will not see. So Allah combined between our seeing and light. So when there is light, that's why there are organisms living in the depths of ocean called the neritic region of the ocean. Those organisms there don't have eyes. They only have highly sensory cells with which they determine their navigation. So Allah didn't give them eyes. Why? Because they don't need the eyes. Because of the locality where they live. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is what? Al-Basir. The one who sees all things. Whether light is there or not. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Alim. The one who knows all things. Everything He knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khabir. The one who is well aware of all things. Alim, He knows all things. Khabir is aware of all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mani'a, the one who is Al-Qawi, Shadidul Quwa, is Qawi, Mateen. And He says, Al-Rafi'a, the one who raises things, or the one who is high above, Rafi'a. Imma bima'na rafi', the one who raises. He says rafi'u darajat. His darajat, he raises the heavens up. Allah raises things. He raises people up. So He is ar-rafi'. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the introductory comments of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So we start with a new point today. Al-Imam al-Muzani said, rahimahullah, that Allah is alin ala arshihi fi majdihi bi dhatihi wa huwa danin bi ilmihi min khalqihi. Alin ala arshihi fi majdihi bi dhatihi وهو دال بعلمه من خلقه. الله سبحانه وتعالى عال على عرشه. الله is عال فوق عرشه. الله is above his عرش. إذا على إنسان إذا تتن على he goes above. So he is calling, he is above, ala arshihi, his arsh. If we say ulub from the word alim, we are talking about ulubuhu ala khalqihi. He is being above all the creatures, including the arsh. But when we use the word, or when the ulama use the word istiwa, which also means that he rose above, he is above, it means istiwa'un ala arshi. So when they say ar-Rahman ala al-arshi istawa, Allah is ar-Rahman. One of the proper names of Allah is what? Ar-Rahman. He is Allah and He is what? Ar-Rahman. So when he says ar-Rahman, it means Allah, He, ar-Rahman, ala al-arshi istawa. He rose above his arsh. Allah is above his arsh. But when they use the word ulu, he rose above the entire creation, including the arsh. So that word ulu is used regarding the entire makhluqat, including the arsh. And when they say istawa, if you look in the verse, in the Quran, about 7 places go, where you say ثم استوى على العرش أو على العرش استوى, because the highest thing, the highest creature of Allah is arsh. The highest creature of Allah that is above the heavens, above everything. Every other thing is below the arsh. Every other thing Allah has created is what? Below the arsh. So when he goes above the arsh, he has gone above all things. So when we speak specifically regarding the arsh, the ulama use the word istawa ala arsh. But when they refer to the entire creation, they say ala ala arsh, or ala makhluqat. Allah is above everything that He has created, including the arsh and the highest thing above, up, that Allah created is what? Al-Arsh. This arsh, Al-Arsh, linguistically refers to a throne. Sarirul Malik, the throne of a king. And we know the more majestic a king is, the more majestic his throne. Every king that has a throne from amongst the creatures, the more majestic he is, the more splendid his throne is. So how splendid will the throne of Ar-Rahman? How magnificent will his throne be, subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why the ulama say, وَعَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ جِدًّا. عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the arsh, the throne of Allah. عَظِيم, magnificent, mighty. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty. He himself said that in Surah At-Tawbah. The expression with which he ended the verse, the chapter, the surah, it was وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah is رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, the owner, the lord of the great magnificent throne. الْعَرْشُ الْعَظِيمِ, meaning that his arsh is what? عَظِيمِ, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the Quran, in Surah Al-Buruj, he refers to himself, he says, he is Dhul Arsh Majid. There are two qira'at of this verse, two ways of reciting this portion of the Quran. In Surah Al-Buruj, Dhul Arsh Majid, the Dhammi Dad, that is Dhul Arshi Al-Majid. So in that case, Majid, splendor, mightiness, will be referring to Allah, Zul Arsh, the owner, the possessor of Al-Arsh. And this possessor of Al-Arsh is what? Al-Majid. He is mighty. This is one explanation or one way of reading that verse. The second way of reading that verse is Dhul Arshi Al-Majidi, because Riddal. And that is the qira'ah of Al-Imam Hamza Al-Kufi, rahimahullah. Hamza Al-Kufi is one of the greatest reciters of the Quran. And he took the Quran from Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran, Al-A'mash, rahimahullah. So he would say, Dhul Arshi Al-Majidi, meaning that magnificence will be referring to who? Al-Arsh. Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan Al-Kisa'i also would recite, Dhul Arshi Al-Majidi. So Allah's Arsh is what? Majid, magnificent, splendid, tremendously special. Subhanahu. He created the Arsh. That's why he says, I am the owner of that huge creature. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa saqfu jannatil firdaus. The arsh of Allah is the ceiling of al-firdaus. May Allah put us in jannatil firdaus. The roof of al-jannatil firdaus is what? Al-arsh. Above it, the arsh. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu was salam, in a hadith collected by Abu Huraira and mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, he said, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. When you ask, supplicate to Allah, ask Allah for firdaus. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ فَالْعَعْلَى. ask Allah for Al-Firdaus, which is the highest Jannah. Because the Jannah is in Darajat. In some narrations, 100 Darajat. 100 levels, above. Those are above others. These people are above these people. These people are above these people. And in narrations, it is said that those people who are below a particular people, they will be looking at them the way we look at the stars. You will not smell them at all. You see far away. The way we look at the stars, we know there is something above us. Go. How is it? How large is it? What are they enjoying? What kind of life are they living? We will not know. Except those who have filled out. Because it is Al-Jannah Al-A'la, the highest. May Allah put us in Al-Firdaus. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَإِنَّهُ أَوْسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ. Because Al-Jannatu Al-Firdaus is أَفْضَلُ الْجَنَّةِ. أَوْسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ يعني أَفْضَلُهَا. The best of Al-Jannah is Al-Firdaus. وَأَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And the highest. It is the best and the highest. وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ. And above the arsh, above the Jannah, Al-Firdaus, it's what? Arshur Rahman, the throne of Allah. So the throne is very, very magnificent. وَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَ مَلَائِكَتِهِ بِحَمْلِهِ. Allah ordered some of His angels to carry this throne. The throne is carried by some of the angels. He says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who are carrying the arsh, the throne of Allah, is carried by some of the malaika. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, أُذِنَ لِيَ أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ مَلَكٍ مِنْ مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ. أُذِنَ لِيَ أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ. I was allowed to explain to you people about, to describe to you one of the malaika, an angel from amongst the angels that are carrying the arsh of Allah. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, inna ma bayna shahmati uznihi, the gap between the lobes of his ears, ila atiqihi, to the shoulder of that malaika, مَثِيرَةُ سَبْعِ مِئَةِ عَامٍ. 700 years, one of the malaika, حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ, between his ears and his shoulder, is a journey of what? 700 years. One of them. And those people, يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِ. What are they doing? Tasbihah. Subhanallah. So if you like, say you will not worship Allah. Ma yuridu. Allah does not want our rizq. Minkum min rizqin. Wa ma uridu minhum an yut'imun. Inna Allah huwa ar-razzaq dhul quwwati. When he says, I created you to worship me, if you say no, you will not worship me, no problem. He has other creatures. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the description the Prophet said. I was told, let me tell you something, make you know. Those carrying the ash, one of them, between his earlobes and his shoulder, a journey of 700 years. And these people, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yufarritun, they are never tired. Wa huwa a'azamu wa awsa'u al-makhluqa. This arsh of Allah, it is the widest creature of Allah. There is no creature that is greater. If the angel carrying the arsh has between his ears and his shoulders a journey of 700,000 years, how will the arsh be? The arsh is not the only one. He says, Hamalatu is figatul jumu'ah, a figure that shows plurality. There are many carrying this arsh. Like this,
So what are they carrying? How will it be? How magnificent will it be? The Prophet Muhammad, he also wants us to know that. He said, Subhanahu alayhi salatu wasalam, مَسَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعِ فِي الْكُرْسِيِّ إِلَّا كَحَلْقَةِ مُلْقَاتٍ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَاهُ. He said, the heavens, the seven heavens, the only heaven we are still battling with is the first heaven, and we have not reached it. They say we cannot reach the sun, and they say that the sun is one of the smallest stars. And they say the smallest star, or one of the smallest stars in our own Milky Way. There are other Milky Ways. In our Milky Way, there are millions or billions of things like the sun. And we cannot reach the sun. And our own Milky Way is just one. There are millions of Milky Ways. And all of these things, Allah used it to design the first heaven. We have not reached the first heaven. When you travel in a plane, what you see are clouds. And before the plane takes its flight, you say, Subhanallah, this huge structure. There are planes now that have double decker. When it wants to move, you'll be thinking, will this plane, will this structure be able to lift itself? But I tell you, by the time it gets to the sky, it looks like a bird. Like a bird. And the higher it goes, the smaller it becomes. The more vast we are able to see the heavens. In istata'tum an tanfudhu min aqtari as-samawati wal ardi fanfudhu la tanfudhuna illa bisultan. First heaven. And all these things, they are designed. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. He called these things masabih, lamps. First heaven. First heaven, lamps. So all these seven heavens put together. He said, when you compare them to the kursi of Allah, they are like a ring that is dropped in a vast open desert. A ring. You drop a ring in a vast open desert. How is it? Negligible. As if you've not dropped anything there. The kursi is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his stool is not on it. We'll come back to that. It's a footstool, but his feet is not on it. Why? Because Allah is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum. He is alone, self-sufficient. He's not relying on anything. So when we say he has arsh, and kings on the earth have arsh, kings rely and relax on their arsh, is it not? Allah is above his arsh, but it's not resting on his arsh. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّهُ بَائِنٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. Because he is disconnected from his creature. He is al-qayyum, self-sufficient, not depending on anything. So when you say kursi is his footstool, his foot is not on the stool. When you say the arsh is his throne, Allah is not sitting on the throne. He is above the throne. And it's not depending on the throne. Every other king depends on his throne. I am depending on this chair. Is it not? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not depending on anything. Allah is al-qayyum. Al-qayyum is alone. Self-subsistent. Independent. Independent. Man is ever dependent. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, wa fadlul arshi ala al-kursi. And the comparison of that kursi to the arsh is like the same ring that is thrown in the desert. So the whole heavens and the earth and everything we have described, they are like a small ring compared to the footstool. And the footstool is a small ring in the desert also compared to the arsh. So how big, huge will this arsh be? It is unimaginable. And that's why Imam al-Suhabi al-Jalil ibn Suhabi, Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, he said, لا يكبر قدره إلا الله تعالى. Al-Arsh, لا يكبر قدره إلا الله. Nobody can estimate the hugeness of the Arsh of Allah except who?
Allah.
As huge as the Arsh is, how huge will the creator of this Arsh be? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unimaginable. Beyond our imagination. Subhanahu. So Allah is فوق العرش, above his arsh, in his ذات. That's why the Imam said rahimahullah, بذاته, في مجده, in his glory, out of his glory, out of his supremacy, في مجده, بذاته, in his essence. What is his ذات? What does his ذات mean? If you say a technophone, this is a technophone, this is the ذات of a technophone. It has a ذات. It has an essence. It has substance. What about patience? Can you see patience? Can you touch patience? It is corporeal. You can't touch it. But you can touch phone, telephone. So Allah has a ذات. Allah is not what does not have a ذات. Allah has a ذات. And his ذات, by his ذات, the arsh is, the ذات of the arsh is what we have described. The ذات of a thing is the essence of that thing in itself. So when it is touchable, you say it has a ذات. When you can't touch it, even air has a ذات. Because when you are carrying a gas cylinder, it is empty, Ali. But when you fill it with gas, you start feeling the weight of gas. So it has essence. But something that doesn't have essence, like patience. You say somebody is patient. You say, oh, I have touched the patient. No, that. So Oyinbo people say that is corporeal. It does not have essence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? That. So with his ذات, as in his subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa fawqa arshi. So he says, Ar-Rahman ala al-arshi. So he has a ذات. Ar-Rahman has a ذات. And that ذات of Allah is above his arsh. So look at how magnificent the arsh is. And I'm sure you cannot imagine its magnificence. Likewise, you cannot imagine the magnificence of the creator of that arsh. Therefore, when you are high, Allah is above you. Every high person, Allah is above him. When you are high, Allah is above you. If you are high in your office and you realize that Allah is above you, it will compel you to be humble. In your highness, you will be what?
Humble.
When they say His Excellency, sir, remember, above you is who?
Allah.
When they say your royal highness, sir, you should remember that above you is what? What about the one that they are not telling royal highness, your excellency? Should he be humble or not? So understanding the fact that Allah is high and above all things makes us become what?
Humble.
Allah says, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مرحا إنك لن تغرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال. When you walk on the earth, don't be insolent, arrogant. Because you cannot break the earth. ولن تبلغ الجبال. And your height, no matter how pompous you raise your shoulder, cannot reach the mountain. When a person remembers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim ala arshihi, he will not be pompous. He goes down. And when he is in his sajda, when he says subhana rabbi al-a'la or subhana rabbi al-a'la, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say we should say Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la in ruku'ah. When we are in ruku'ah, what do we say? Subhana Rabbiya al-Azim wa bihamdi. There is riwayah wa bihamdi. Although you can stop at wa bihamdi. But when your head is on the ground, and you know Allah is above His arsh, folk, and then you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, you really feel worshiping. You bring the topmost part of your body on the ground by way of worshiping Allah, who is topmost. You bring the topmost part of your body on the ground by way of worship to who? The one who is topmost. Now look at it. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu made us understand that although in common sense, the human may be thinking that when he is raising his head, he is going closer to Allah who is above. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand that the closest the servant is to his Lord is when he is in what? Sajda. So he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana, glory be to you, my Lord. Al-A'la, you that you are above all things. So Allah is above all things. So when a person says Allah is everywhere, tell him, stop that. Did he tell you he's everywhere? Did Allah tell us he's everywhere? Allah is above all things. Some of the people may say, what is the importance of saying that Allah is above His arsh? We have mentioned some of the importance. And from that also is that it shows Iman. Al-Imam al-Darmi, Sa'id al-Darmi, Abu Sa'id al-Darmi, and others, explain that when a person has not believed that Allah is above all things, his Iman is not complete. What is the proof? One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami is not Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who was Amir al-Mu'minin. In this case, we have Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. This companion had a female slave. One day she did a thing when he just newly accepted Islam and he slapped her. I know we human beings, sometimes we do something and we begin to feel, I should have done other than this. I should not have done this. So he took her to the Prophet Muhammad. Said, this my female slave did a thing and I slapped her. You know it is prohibited to slap a creature in the face. Not even an animal. Al-Imam al-Sakhawi, Abdul Rahman al-Sakhawi, has an entire book on this. He compiled the ahadith in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited us slapping people in the face. Likewise, you must not abuse a person's face. Do we know? It's the thing to abuse a person's face. So, when he brought this lady slave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring her to me, she came in front of the Prophet Muhammad. The first question the Prophet asked her, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ayn Allah? Where is Allah? So if you think a discussion on where Allah is irrelevant, is this question of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam irrelevant? If a person thinks that the Prophet was irrelevantly asking that question, that person is knocking the doors of kufr. Likewise, if you think a discussion on where Allah is irrelevant, you are ascribing irrelevance to the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah protect us. So when we truly understand the highness of Allah subhanahu. So when you say Ta'ala, the meaning of Ta'ala is the one who is above all things. So the Prophet asked the girl, slave, Ayn Allah. Where is Allah? Start doing this test to people. Brother, Ayn Allah. It's one of the tests of Iman. The lady said, Fisama, that is above the heavens. She passed it. So he said, alayhi salam, Man ana? Who am I? Say, Rasulullah. He said, alayhi salatu, i'tiqha fa innaha mu'minatu. Free her because she's a mu'mina. So the test for recognition of iman is what? Ayna Allah. Wa ayna Allah his sama. So let not any person come to say, where is Allah is not important. It is very important. It is part of imanu billah. من إيمان بالله أن نؤمن بألوهيته that we believe in his ulum or بألوه we believe that Allah is above all things. Allah is above all things سبحانه وتعالى so the Imam said رحمه الله back to our book he says عال على عرشه I hope this point is clear now Allah is what عَالٍ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِ فِي مَجْدِهِ in his glory بِذَاتِهِ in his essence وَهُوَ دَامٍ بِعِلْمِهِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ as above as he is وَهُوَ in the same manner دَامٍ he is close بِعِلْمِهِ through his knowledge مِنْ خَلْقِهِ to his creatures is high above in his essence, but in his knowledge he is close by to his creatures. That is, he is well aware of all the affairs of his creatures. He sees them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymin explained. He says, يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَهُمْ Allah is well aware. He has full knowledge of their ahwal, their circumstances. وَيَسْمَعُ أَقْوَالَهُمْ And Allah hears their words, everything they say. A man amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad he said to his wife that your back is like the back of my mother. This is called zihar. When a man tells his wife, your back is like my mother's back, we know no sensible, sane man can keep his mother's back on the ground. You understand what I mean? So when you liken, may Allah protect us, because zihar is a sin. When a person liken his mother, his wife's back to his mother's back, he has committed a sin. And it means that he cannot have access to her. Although she's his wife. So men used to do that during the times of Jahiliyyah. So a companion did that, said that to his wife. Your back is like the back of my mother. The woman, her name was what? Khawla. She said, my back, like the back of my mother? I said, yes. Okay. So when he wanted to have access to her, she said, Lailai, you will not. The Prophet must hear this one that you have said today. Alayhi salatu. But she had a problem. She could not go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam because she did not have hijab. Ikhwa, this woman, Khawla, she could not go to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam to complain because she did not have hijab, jilbab, no jilbab. So it will tell you their condition. She did not have jilbab. So she can't go out. Women today, I hope you are hearing. The first thing is that she did not make her not having jilbab a problem to her husband. She was patient with it. Secondly, she did not say, oh, it is darura now, I will go out like that without jilbab. So she had to borrow jilbab from her neighbor who came to the house. I need your jilbab. It is common. Do you know in the time of the Prophet, some women used to borrow jilbab to go to Eid? The hadith is in Bukhari. So in the end, she went to the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet, my husband said, my back is like the back of my mother, and I will not allow him to touch it. So she began to have a discussion with the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet said, go back to him, let him. I said, no, he will not. And Allah will tell you something about this. Allah will say something because of her iman. What did Allah say? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا فَيَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ عَالِمٌ بِأَحْوَالِهِمْ. So Allah says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Oh Messenger, your Lord Allah has heard. What did he hear? قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. The word of the woman who was contending with you regarding her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And she was supplicating to Allah. Allah, say something about this matter. Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. The exchange of words between you and that woman, Wallahu yasma'u. Allah was hearing it. Allah is fawq al-arsh. He was hearing a conversation between the Prophet Muhammad alayhi and the woman who came to make a complaint. So, فَهُوَ عَالٍ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Allah is above his arsh. وَهُوَ دَانٍ بِعِلْمِهِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. He is well aware of the affairs of his creatures. His being above does not prevent him from being aware of their affairs, does not prevent him from hearing their affairs, does not prevent him from seeing what they are upon. He's above, but he hears all. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. We are the ones who created men. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. And we know, نَعْلَمُ. We are well aware, full knowledge. مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. What his heart is telling him. Allah says, يَعْلَمُ مَا يُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. What our heart tell us. Make I go, make I no go, make I slap him, make I no slap him, make I wake up for tahajjud, make I no wake, make I give him the money or make I no give him, make I cheat him or make I no cheat him, make I do well or make I no do well, make I pray or make I no pray. Ya alamu. Allah knows it. Ma fu waswisi bihi, the waswas. So not just the discussion between prophet and a woman. Even the one you say to yourself, Allah is well aware of it. He says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are close to men, closer to men than their jugular veins. But we say it's above the arsh. He's closer to us because he's well aware of our affairs. He knows it, he sees it, he hears it, he controls it, he has power over it. So it's well aware. These days, like I gave an example, once, a brother is in Malaysia, you are chatting. Brother, let him, how are you? Say, fine. This is that, you say, you answer. What is this? You talk about it. You ask him, how is this? He answers. When you send a question and he's not answering, you ask him, are you there? What does he tell you? I'm with you. Is it not? Meanwhile, it's in Malaysia. If that is possible among humans, how about between the Creator and the Creator? His being above does not disconnect him from being aware of our affairs. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah gave a very excellent example. He said it is like the moon, the mid-month moon. It is full moon, ko? When we were children, we used to say, the moon is looking at me. You too, you say, no, na me, they look. You say, no, no, it's looking at me. You say that in Port Harcourt. A young boy in Sokoto will say that. A young boy in US will say that. A young boy in... Everybody is saying that the moon is looking at him or her. What about the sun? Say, na me, the sun, they look. Na me. Say, this person say, no. Travelers, when they travel during full moon, everybody thinks, ah, this moon, the light is for me alone. The other one is thinking, it's for me alone. So if we all can perceive the moon to be seen of personally as individuals, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So his being above his arsh does not contradict his being close to us. So when you are aware, we are in the generation of CCTV now. Go back to us. Although in our country is where we are just starting, in other developed countries it's been there since years. CCTV is everywhere. So when you get into a supermarket or anywhere where there is CCTV hung up there, everybody is careful of what he is doing. Even when you shake a friend inside a bank, you know you must be careful. Because if anything happens and he is one way or the other, they will come back to you. See, they saw him with you shaking hands. How do you know him? Be careful, brothers. In every dealing you make with people, be very careful. The CCTV is watching. What about Allah's CCTV? The CCTVs they have are limited. They are limited in their abilities. When the camera is directed in this direction, it cannot see what is behind her. When it is directed here, it cannot see what is here. When it is directed to the east, it cannot see the west. But the CCTV of Allah is above. It's looking at all things. If you are careful in banks, in supermarkets, in airports, in all these places where there are CCTV, should you not be careful when you are in the secrecy of your room because Allah is seeing you too? Should you do something thinking that you have done it secretly, Allah doesn't know? If you are certain that the CCTV is seeing you, so you must not do anything that contradicts the laws of the area where you are. Should you do something that contradicts Allah's laws and Allah is seeing you? This is the essence of taqwa. When you are conscious that Allah is seeing you at all, that's why it's one of the highest levels of servitude to Allah. It is called al-ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه إنه very important. If a person does not have this consciousness, he cannot have taqwa. You avoid everything because Allah is seeing you, and it is not proper that he sees you like that. You are lying. And you know Allah is hearing you, brother. You people talk these days, we are in the generation of Facebook. People converse with people's wives. We've had complaints. A brother complained, some people are talking to my wife. You wives too fear Allah. A man wants to get married to a woman. They are conversing on Facebook, saying all private things to themselves, thinking that nobody sees it except the two of them. What about Allah? Allah said he heard the conversation between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khawla. Will he not hear the conversation between you, sister, who don't fear Allah, and the brother? Or the brother who don't fear Allah and the sister? We allow shaitan to beguile us and make us think Allah is not seeing us, when we know certainly that Allah is seeing us. This is the essence of taqwa. So understanding this point makes us understand that we are regularly under Allah's CCTV, quote and unquote, is regularly seeing us. And the records are taken. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا مَنِهِ سَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَظِلُّ عَلَيْهَا ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. الله سبحانه وتعالى وكل إنسان every human being ألزمناه طائره في عنقه. We have placed his cross of record in his neck. It is with you. I have my own. You have your own. That's how we carry it. ونخرج له يوم القيامة. It will be brought out to him, to me, to you, on the day of Qiyamah. يلقاه منشورا. It will be thrown. And when it is thrown, it is a scroll, roll. But when it is thrown, it will open. When it is opened before you and I, it will be said, اقرأ كتابك. Read your record. كفى بنفسك اليوم. Today, كفى بنفسك عليك حسيبا. You are sufficient as a judge for yourself. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. All those things you did in the secret, you think Allah did not see you. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. Match your report card. So he said, Mani hitada, anyone who follows through guidance, فَإِنَّمَا يَهَتَدِي لِنَا. He is doing that for his own soul. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ. Whoever chooses misguidance, فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. He is also choosing misguidance at his own peril. May Allah make us power of people. This is the main point in this matter. You see the connection between Aqidah and Ibadah now. You see the connection between Aqidah and character now. You see the connection. Because most times say Aqidah, Aqidah, but the character is bad. The Aqidah is not reflecting in the character. Characters are bad. Men, women, young, old. Characters are bad or is bad. Because the Aqidah is not reflecting in the character. Allah is Fawqa al-Arsh only. It is to test you. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We beg Allah to make us from the people of good deeds. So the point again is عَالٍ عَلَىٰ أَرْشِهِ فِي مَجْدِهِ بِذَاتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his arsh. فِي مَجْدِهِ. Out of his glory. بِذَاتِهِ. In his essence. وَهُوَ دَانٍ بِعِلْمِهِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. And as well, he is close to his creatures out of his knowledge. With his knowledge, he is close to his creatures. We'll stop here, inshallah. Today. It's a very important issue the Imam has mentioned. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand better than we have tried to explain. Please let us go back home and contemplate this matter. Understanding Allah's being above all things is very important. When you cheat somebody, you know Allah is seeing you. A person is helpless. You think, I don't oppress that one. Ha! The one above, the defender of the oppressor is above, watching you. And you know what? When you do it every time, you think you get away with it. He's waiting for you. What did he say? Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Allah is watching. He's watching, he's waiting for you. Finish. And that's why Fir'aun did not like Musa saying that Allah is above the heavens. When he claimed to be God, Fir'aun, when he had heard Musa saying Allah is heaven, Allah is above the heavens. So what did he say? Ya hama nubnili sarha la'anni abnubu al-asbab. Oh Haman, go and build a skyscraper for me. So that I can go to the heavens, as Baba Samawati, so that I can climb the gap between now, here, and the heavens. For Asaliu ila ilahi Musa. So that I can go and see that God Musa is talking about. For inni la azunuhu kaziba. Because Fir'aun said he is thinking that Musa is a liar. He's asking, where is your lesson? My Lord is in the heaven. Okay. Haman, build one skyscraper for me so that I can go and see that God Musa is talking about. Because this Musa is a liar. Fir'aun said that. So even Fir'aun rejected the fact that Allah is above the heaven. That is why it is from the aspects of kufr for a person not to believe that Allah is above the heaven. Because from among those who disbelieve in it was who? Fir'aun. Because of his kufr. May Allah protect us from that. If we have one or two questions, we'll attempt to give them answers. And I'll prefer questions that are connected to Allah's uluf. Because the matter is very great. Alaykum as-salam. هل يجوز للإنسان أن يتخذ كافرا خليلا؟ أنت الذي كتبت هذا؟ من؟ من؟ هذا أنت الذي كتبت.
هذا خليلا ما جعلت فيه إلا ألف لا فهمت؟
أجل لك
ترى؟ ترى؟ شوف لليمين.
He's asking, is it allowed for a Muslim to have a non-Muslim as a friend? Is it allowed for an individual to have a non-Muslim as his friend? If you have a non-Muslim friend, somebody you just know, hello, how are you? That's not possible. If you have a non-Muslim as an intimate, beloved friend, that you have a place of love for him in your heart, it is not allowed. To have a place of love in our heart, the love of worship. Because don't forget, when we discuss Nawakidul Islam, we explain that there is love that is connected to us, al-mahabba, that is connected to worship. And that is, there is al-mahabba that is connected to fitra, like a mother's love for a child, a child's love for his mother. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam loved his father. That love is the love between a child and his mother, as the case may be. But the love of worship must only be for the people of Iman. Because we love them because of their Iman. Do we understand? So in that sense, we are always with them. We want to help them. We want to make things easy for them. We want to do everything for them. We pray for them. If at all Muslims do that now. Brothers amongst themselves. But a non-Muslim, just acquaintance, hello, how are you? But if they are parents, we can like them the way a child likes the parent. No more, no less. But if they love the kufr now and fight us because of Iman, then the love should go off the heart. So that is, Allahu A'lam, a brief answer. I hope the person who has asked this question, anta fahimta jawab, fahimta al-jawab,
salat.
The belief about Allah is with us with his knowledge, not with his essence. The hadith about Qiyamul Layl that says Allah will come to the nearest heaven. Please, is that with his knowledge or with his essence? We know Hadithul Nuzul, that Allah descends to the fourth heaven in the third part of the night. That is what his prophet that he has sent has told us. And that is what we believe. But it is not his knowledge. Because he will be asking us, Man yastaghfir li fa'astajib lahu. Man yad'uni fa'astajib lahu. Who will ask me so that I grant his request? And who will seek repentance and forgiveness of me so that I forgive him? His knowledge cannot be talking like this. So it is in his essence. As people like Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, also Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen,
So we believe it like that, and we stop like that. We don't now start thinking, how will it be? La. Because the how of it, the person you are thinking about, is beyond your imagination. He said he will do it. So how will he do it? Leave that one to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we believe in what the messenger said about his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will descend. Yes, he will descend. How then does he descend compared to his being above his arsh? Don't bother your mind about that. You will not be asked about that. The companions did not ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You say Allah descend. How? Where? When? How? They did not ask. Fakat. فَسُؤَالُ أَنْهُ بِدْعَ. For us to be asking, how will he descend? When will he descend? Which time? He. It will bring us into something that is obnoxious. May Allah protect us. The issue of praying, because not all things are we able to understand. Not even in basic science. Where is MH372? The camera, the satellite did not pick it. If that is about a created thing, how about the creator of the planet? They say they have satellites that can pick your phone. It will not tell you this is a phone. It will tell you the brand of the phone. That is the brag of one of the countries of the world. It's a brag. Let them tell us where MH372 Malaysian flight is. You know MH372? A Malaysian flight that left Malaysia traveling to China. And the entire world, it has defied all scientific calculation. I when I was reading the information, I was smiling and saying, Allahu Akbar. They don't know where it is. And they can tell us. Shamelessly. They can shamelessly tell us. They don't know where that plane is. As big as the plane, about how many people were on board? It was a Boeing 777 flight. This is a huge plane. And you can't tell us where it is. They said one country brought, they could carry some from Oshobo here to go to. Let Ifa tell them where the plane is. So if we ourselves find things within our capacity inexplicable, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They say one day they saw one thing. One of the jet fighters that went there went back. They said the wave of the ocean was dangerous. It could even draw down the plane from its waves. They ran away. Water, wave, because it's a large, huge ocean between the Malaysian subcontinent and the Indian subcontinent. That's about the Indian Ocean. It's heavy. They say, we know that here. They see they left away. So there are things that are beyond our intellect. A person's inability to understand a matter does not contradict that thing being a truth. So Allah descends to the first heaven, like his prophet told us that he descends. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deen wa bi muhammadin nabiyyan wa rasul. Salah. How do we call the Fajr prayer? Ha. Like you call any other azan. It's not different. The Fajr prayer is not different from any other prayer that you are calling. The one that you may think that is different is the call that wakes people up for Qiyamul Layl. So you say to them, As-salatu khayru min an-naw. That is not the call for Fajr. Because you make that call before Tulu al-Fajr.
in the midnight. As-salatu khayru min an-nawm is the first call. When you wake the people up or you remind them you are getting closer to subhi, Abdullah ibn Umar was a mu'adhin to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi reported that Ibn Umar said that the first call they make for Salatu Subhi is what? As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. You can't know it better than the person who was doing it. There was also a second mu'adhin whose name I wouldn't remember now. He also reported that the first adhan we make on Salatu Subhi, first Subhi is as-salatu khayru min an-nawm. And as-salatu khayru min an-nawm is called at-tafweed. But what is common with us these days is to say as-salatu khayru min an-nawm second. There are some scholars who hold that opinion. But it appears, and Allah knows best, that the first opinion is more preponderant. Is there an evidence that says we should not place the Quran on the floor? No. Except the fact that the Quran is the book of Allah and must be honored at all times. So if you are putting it on the ground, it's honor, then put it on the ground. There are places on the ground that will be clean, dry, perhaps even rubbed. Place it properly, respectfully. But on the ground too, could be any funny, dirty thing. Don't put the Quran there. It is from the symbols of weak iman, the way the people treat the masahib. These days, especially women, they are very negligent now of mushafs. And children, don't be negligent about masahib, mushaf. When you read mushaf, honor it. Because it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you see it, pick it. Even if it is a page, pick it. If you don't know what to do with it, burn it. By way of preserving it from being touched by filth and other things. Allahu a'lamu. Now, I heard reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas for the dead is wrong. Is it true? Yes. Because the Prophet did not say, alayhi salatu wasalam, we should be reciting Qul Allah meta meta. He didn't tell us. So what should we do? Individuals in their privacies should make supplications to Allah for the dead. Not Qulu Allah. So anytime you say Qulu Allah, as if Qulu Allah was revealed because of Oku. La. You can use anything to beg Allah as tawassul. And you don't read it last. You read it first. It's another mistake. When people are making dua, they not say Al-Fatiha, la. Start with Fatiha. And then supplicate. Your starting with Fatiha is to push it forward. Wabtagu ilayhi wasila. You push something forward first. You want to see Mr. President. Who do you see first? Protocol. You settle them first. Or you tell them that don't worry, when I come back, I'll settle you. You will not see any president. I tell you. So protocol, don't worry, arrange that. When I come, I go see you. Say, ah, this one, no matter. He may not even tell you. Will he tell you? We are all laughing. It is wrong too. So what the point we are making is you push something forward. What you push forward, Fatiha, or Ikhlas, or Naq, or Lahab, Tabati Ada. These days when you say, we want rizq. And the dua we want to make, you say, Tabati Ada, Bilabi, what are people say, ha. It is a verse of the Quran, and every verse of the Quran can be used to supplicate to Allah. The Yasin you are reading, there is no punishment in Yasin. There is no punishment. Allah didn't talk about punishment inside Yasin. He talked about it now. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون أَأَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَةً إِنْ يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونِ قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُندٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً إِنَّ الْعَذَابَ That's how we read it when we are small. Now that time the Malam they will be putting money in our pocket. May Allah protect us. The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, اقرأوا القرآن واسألوا الله به فإنه سيأتي على الناس زمان يقرؤون القرآن ويسألون الناس به. He said, read the Quran and you ask Allah. When you read the Quran, ask Allah with your reading. Because a time shall come when people will read the Quran. When they finish the Quran, they say to people, bring money. Has that time come or not? What in Sawo Yatinis? And they say, pay for ya. The point of reference, Ikhwa, is we can use any place in the Quran to beg Allah for something. The whole Quran. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Quran, the whole Quran is shifa and rahmah. Whether Surah Al-Lahab or Surah Al-Ikhlas. So, Ikhlas is not restricted to dead body. Likewise, Sabat Yada is not restricted. Alam Tara Kaifa. It's not restricted to, you know, we have handled the Quran in such a way as if the Quran is like a medicine. Rahmah, the Quran is a mercy to mankind, not a book of medicine. May Allah protect us. I hope that point is clear. So you can use any place in the Quran to beg Allah for something, whether to beg Allah to forgive a dead person or something. And when you read the Quran to make tawassul in such circumstances, you start with the Quran. You don't make a dua, make a dua, make a dua, and then at the end you say, Fatiha, I will not follow you in your Fatiha. If you want to read Fatiha to beg Allah, start with Fatiha. And don't forget to make salat and salam on the Prophet Muhammad. When you make salat and salam on the Prophet, as-salatu, salatu al-Ibrahimiyya in your dua will be answered. I think that's sufficient on that. In fact, Ubayy ibn Ka'ab asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I used to pray Allah to make salat and salam on you. Say, how much of it? Say, half. Say, well, should I increase it? Say, do what you like. But if you increase it, it is better. Say, should I give 2/3? I'm making dua. 2/3 of the dua is salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, do what you like. But if you increase it, it's better. I say, okay, I have all my dua, salat and salam on you. He says, if you do so, Allah will be sufficient for you for all your needs. Allah will forgive you and Allah will protect you. What else do we need? Allah is sufficient for us for all our needs. Allah will protect us. Allah will forgive us. You didn't say, Allah, give me you. Only Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali to the end. So salatu yourself na nankali. Don't run about. Don't start running about. Salatu wa salam on the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam itself. Yakfika. This nankali is from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. So it's hot. So go on let's eat. When you mention the name of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you do say alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? There's no difference between sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and alayhi salatu wa salam. It is the syntax arrangement that is different. The better thing is sometimes you say this, sometimes you say that. You say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or alayhi salatu wa salam. It's allowed. Okay. Then, very important. A woman seeks divorce. I want to say something. The Prophet Muhammad says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-'abda idha 'amila 'amalan an yuskinahu." Allah likes a servant. Anything he does it well. I want us to improve upon the way we write English, because it has become a language we use every day now. Bal, it is the language of the present-day civilization. It is like the one who does not know it is behind. So let us learn it. When we write it well. When we speak it well. It is not language of kuffar. Because there are Muslims amongst them now. Large number of Muslims. They speak Arabic well now. So sometimes we need to converse with them, we need the language. So I'll encourage us to do them well. Learn it well. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam ordered Zayd ibn al-Thabit to learn the language of the non-Muslims. And he learned it in some riwayah within 11 days. In some within 17 days. Why? Because it was a need for the Ummah to do at the time. So now we need to learn this language. It's the language of the time with our Arabic. With our Arabic. You see, if you have Arabic and you have English, you are more efficient, inshallah, all things being equal. Please let us try to write it well, learn it well, teach it well to the children when we teach it. Likewise, Arabic. We don't have a choice. That's why it's sinning qua non, like you say. May Allah make it easy for us. Please, we need your clarification as regards this matter, or regarding this matter, from the light of, no, in the light of, or according to the Kitab and Sunnah. The matter is stated as explained below. There are other issues, but we'll just go ahead. A woman seeks divorce from her husband due to a Shari'i or a Sharia conclusion that she dislikes to commit kufr after she had believed as a result of ill manners of the brother. So she's afraid committing kufr. Unfortunately, the brother refuses to release her due to his love for the sister. Does that mean the woman will remain to live in his house as a wife when she had already concluded to seek divorce? I say yes. The fact that you want to get separated from him and he refuses to leave you is not sufficient reason to pack your baggages and luggages and say, oh, I'm going out of the house. If a woman does so, she's sinning. Because Allah says, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ. Don't throw women out of their houses. Some men are so wicked. When they quarrel with their wives, they pack her load and throw it out. Allah says, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ. Don't throw women out of your rooms. بُيُوتِهِنَّ, their rooms. Allah connected the room to her. Don't throw her out. وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا, she too, she must not go. إِلَّا أَن يَعْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ
مبين.
Except that woman has become a woman that can fight everybody in the house and injure people and all of this. That keeping her in the house is a great risk and danger to the people of the house. Allah says, وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. What I am telling you are the limits of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Any person who steps on these bounds that Allah has set is wronging his soul or her soul. So let not the woman go out. Divorce is not in the hands of a woman. It is in the hands of a man. If she wants to be separated, what she will seek for is what the ulama refer to as what? Khul'u. Which is seeking to be relieved. I think this is what the woman refers to here. But even at that, it is the man who will say, okay, I separate from you. Get separated from me. And in that circumstance, the woman would have to return the mahar that he had given her during the marriage to him before she goes away. If the man now refuses, then she will take the case to the court. Just like if a man wants to marry a lady and the parents of the lady refuse, the lady has a right, underline these words, and don't misquote me ever. She has a right. We are talking about rights now, okay? But nobody is encouraging a woman to do that. Make sure you are able to resolve those matters with your parents, with your uncles, with your grandparents, with your relatives. Avoid that there is confusion and disconnection between yourself, your father, and your proposed husband. Because if you are not careful, it will fall under what Allah has prohibited. وَيَقُتَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُصَلَى. You will be disconnecting what Allah has ordered to be connected. Allah has ordered you to connect with your parents correctly. If you don't handle this matter properly, you'll be disconnecting from them, and it's a sin. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. O ye who believe, fear Allah and connect yourself. End your mutual differences. End them. Don't go on continuing differences. So if you know your marriage could bring a difference, be careful about how you handle it. And in my experience so far, most marriages that are based like this, they have usually have problems. May Allah protect us. So if the woman finds it difficult to get separation from the man, she should seek a Sharia court. You ask me, what if there are no Sharia courts? Likewise, for the other sister who wants to marry, everybody in the family has refused. They want her. If the husband is not from Ofa, then there cannot be marriage. Or as the case may be, take the case to the well-known imam in your community. The well-known imam in your community. Don't seek to do it corner in the corner. Take the case to the well-known imams and they will come in into the issue. Take the case to your parents. Take the case to your family. Daddy, I want to be separated from this man. While you are doing all that, you are still within his house. Mommy, bring his own parents too. Rather than going to say, oh, I want to separate from him. He has refused. I pack my bag, I go out. Allah has warned you. وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا. Don't go out of your husband's house. I think that is the first aspect of the question. The malams in their community advised the woman to reconcile, but the woman said over her dead body. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. She said over my dead body. Perhaps tomorrow Allah will bring something different. If she's patient. There is nothing that patience comes in except that patience beautifies it. And I say to a lot of young people now, sorry, I'm young too, but I am sure people are younger than me. One of the things that has led to the way marriages break these days is because people are not patient in their marriage. If you are not patient in marriage one, you go to marriage two, you are not patient, you go out again. If you go to marriage too, you are not patient, you go out again. When you hear parents say they've been together for 40 years, for 50 years, no be water. It is not chicken and meat pie. It is hard work and patience. Hard work, patience. And I think most young people these days, they get married because there is difference between love and desire for sexual relations. There is difference between the two. Loving the person and wanting the person lustfully. People lust themselves now rather than loving themselves. So when they marry, after 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, the lust goes away. So when the difficulties of marriage now come, they don't have something to cope with that situation. You start hearing complaints. I left the community less than 1.5 years ago. 3 brothers have married within 1.5 years and divorced their wives. The wife they married within 1.5 years, one of them did not last 3 months. And you find them, they can't explain why. Most of the situation is because the women or the men did not understand the implications of marriage. Marriage is not all about I love you, why are you hiding, singing, and Facebook. Marriage is much more than that. It's more than fantasy. I want a man that can always tell me he loves me. No! He may be so busy that he doesn't have time. He didn't even think about whether there is a woman who was there. He said he didn't even look at me. At least for the past 6 months, my husband has not told me that I am beautiful. Because many things are happening. Marriage is much more than that. Marriage is much more than that, brothers and sisters. Marriage is very, very demanding. Marriage is very, very demanding. When we go to Sekonika, we'll be discussing these matters. The Malams in their community advised the woman to reconcile, but the woman said over her dead body. They asked why, she said nothing but natural hatred due to the ill manners of the brother. It could be investigated to verify whether the brother is really ill-mannered. Or if she's insisting, because it takes two to marriage, to marry. Just like it takes two to love, and they say it takes two to tango. So if she says, I don't want this marriage again, she has a right. Although the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has reported, and Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad has mentioned, that la'ana Allahu al-mukhtali'at, mukhtali'at. The woe of Allah be upon women who seek to be divorced. Ulama say those women who seek to be divorced for no good reason. They just want to say, you, are you going to see what I go do? I'm not going to marry you again. La. La'ana Allahu al-mukhtali'at. The woe of Allah, the wrath of Allah be upon women who seek to be separated from their husbands without genuine reason. But if it is really true that she just dislikes the man and wants another husband, then it is genuine. It is genuine. But I advise those women, if it is something that you can correct, correct it. A woman once said to me that she wants to go out of her marriage because her husband is not capable of satisfying her sexually. So I encourage her, alhamdulillah, 4 years ago, she's still in the marriage now. If you go out of that marriage and marry another husband, who guarantees you that that one will be able to satisfy you? It happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. A woman got separated from her husband for a similar reason. When she got married to the second husband, she said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was looking at him and smiling. When the Prophet looked at her, he smiled. He now asked her, "La allaki tarji'i ila," perhaps you want to go back to Abi Rafi, if I remember the name of the husband. She said, "Yes." Said, "No way, la, that is not possible. حتى يذوق أسيلتك وتذوق أسيلته. Until this new husband has something to do with you sexually, and you have something to do with him sexually, you enjoy yourself sexually. Why? Because the second husband has a male organ that is like the thread that is going out of a cloth. It is not erect, and it cannot be erect, neither is it, you know, good enough for her. So she wants to go back to the first husband. So what assures you that if you leave your husband because he cannot satisfy you, who tells you that the next one will satisfy you? And unfortunately, you may not be able to go back to that first husband. So think, if it is a matter that can be handled, handle it and try to resolve. If it is something regarding which somebody will be patient, and Allah will reward you for your patience. So the question continues and says, the case was reported to the Sharia court, alhamdulillah, and the outcome is that the sister should reconcile with her husband. Then she must not do otherwise, by obligation. Yes, it's one of the ways where talaq can be wajib and marriage can be wajib. Because talaq, divorce, like marriage, it really changes in the Sharia depending on the circumstance. Divorce can be obligatory, where you must divorce the woman. If the court said the man should divorce the woman must be separated from him by force. Do you know that? If he touches her again, the police will arrest her in the Sharia court. The court will order him to be arrested. In modern day legal usages, parlance, they call that contempt of court. He will be disobeying the court. If the court says, what should happen is that the husband should be separated from her, and he's going to say, no, I'm not going to leave her. Arrest him. Likewise, if the court rules that they should stay together, she must not say, I'm not going to leave. Do you understand now? Likewise, when فَبْحَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا, when these four people sit down and say, the marriage should be separated, it is obligational, the husband must divorce the wife. And if those four people sit down and say, the marriage must continue, it is obligatory, the marriage must continue. So once the court has now ruled that the marriage should continue, then she does not have a choice. She should be pleased with it. We should not be going to court, Sharia court, just to seek what we want. So if it had been the other way that she should separate from him, she would have been happy that, and even the Sharia court says that she should separate from him. Because the court would not have ruled that the marriage should continue, except that they have seen that her reasons are flimsy and unjustifiable. The court is not stupid. So she should not follow her own desires in the circumstance. The question continues. Ustaz, the sister was furious, she should not be furious. So this conclusion, she should not be, because she felt it is injustice. I don't think the court will just unjustifiably rule that the marriage should continue. Finally, the sister intends to remarry. You can't remarry when you have not been separated from a first marriage. Any brother who is proposing to marry you should fear Allah. You should know that he's proposing to someone else's wife. And inna rabbaka labil mirsad. If he's intending to remarry, there's no remarry in your case because you are already in a marriage. And the brother is yet to release her. You don't have the right to continue to talk about a release if you truly fear Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Is this correct? What you are doing is wrong. The sister had kids and they are with the husband. Okay. If the sister eventually remarried, she must not remarry if she fears Allah. What Sharia rights has she to ask about welfare of the kids? This matter does not even arise at all. Assalamu alaikum. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.